Chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 20, and verses 1 through 16. Once you found that, if you could, go to John chapter 8. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. After that, if you would, the next portion of Scripture would be John chapter 8, verses 30 through 32. John chapter 8, and verses 30 through 32. Open eyes and open heart. Open eyes and open heart will be the title of the message this morning. In Matthew chapter 20, there's a parable. It's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. There's some things of interest to us this morning. I believe it will be a help to us. A parable is usually used to teach one particular truth. A parable used to tell us in school does not stand on all fours, as that it's given mainly to teach one particular truth. This parable, there's a break here in the text here from chapter 19 and then chapter 20. Those breaks were put here, divisions were put here by man. And this one is somewhat unfortunate because in verses 27 through 30, we actually find a statement and some conversation that Jesus had with Peter. And actually, Jesus is responding to that conversation. You'll see in jumping back to chapter 19, verse 27, says, "Then answered Peter and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory." The regeneration, if you have the Scofield notes, it tells you a number of the commentaries, is when all have been redeemed, the earth and those who are saved, and the earth has also been, it's called the regeneration. "When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." Let me tell you something about life. If you sin, the Bible says there's a law of sowing and reaping. When you sin, you're going to reap more of that sin than what you wanted to. When you sin, we just dedicated these children. You pay attention to that and rear your children according to the Word of God. And your children will be tremendous. And God will give you extra if you'll just decide to rear your children according to the things of God. It works both ways. If you sin, you always reap more than you want to. You always reap more than you thought you were going to. But the truth, the conversely is true too. If you'll do right, you'll always reap more than you thought you would. You sow holiness and you'll reap holiness. You sow righteousness and you will reap righteousness. So the opposite is true. You sow to sin and you're going to reap more than you want to reap. You sow righteous. You do right in God. Parents come to me all the time. And they say, "Well, I don't know why our kids turned the way they did. They're good young'uns, you know, and we tried, but my, we failed." Let me tell you something. You tried to sow righteousness. You tried to do it, and God took it and ran with it. If you'll sow righteousness from the heart, God will take that and run with it. You always get more than what you anticipated you would. You sow sin, you're going to reap sin. You're greater than what you thought. You sow righteousness, and you're going to reap righteousness. And Jesus is saying to Peter, and Peter sounds like they got a pretty good setup. Peter said, "What are we going to get? What shall we have therefore?" But verse 30, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." But many, says to Peter, "that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now what he's doing here, Jesus is responding to the question that Peter asked him. In fact, look at verse 16 of chapter 20, even before we read the other. "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." And so Jesus gives this parable to talk about the grace of Almighty God, and how that the thief on the cross goes to heaven just like the person that is saved and lives his life for God as far as going to heaven. Now there's the in Corinthians it talks about the bema seat, and there's those who serve God will have rewards for serving God, but salvation itself is by grace. You cannot get better to get saved. You cannot do one thing to earn your way to heaven. Salvation is by the grace of Almighty God. It's just a free gift. It's absolutely free. You can't do anything to gain that. Now, what you can do is live a life of sowing and reaping. Sow righteousness and you'll reap righteousness. You go ahead and go, you that are saved, you sow wickedness and you're going to reap wickedness. You're going to reap sin. And you're going to reap more of it than what you want. But Jesus here is responding to Peter, and the main thrust of this is simply about the grace of Almighty God. It's absolutely free. I'm going to tell you something. God takes us and does something with us. God takes us and does something with us. You that sit before me this morning, you're better people because you're in the house of God. It's the house of God. It's the house of God. You're better people. You're better than you would be had you not Jesus Christ. Left to yourself, you would go away from God and away from that which is righteous and good. It is all by the grace of Almighty God. All of it is. Now, in God's program, we sow righteousness, we reap righteousness, we sow sin. Even the saved, when they sow sin, you're going to reap sin. It's just the way the thing works. There's a moral government of God that says this is the way it is. Now, Peter says to Jesus, what are we going to get because we came over for salvation, we came over being followers of God, what are we going to get? Well, he talks about that and he uses a parable to do it. And in verse 1 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early, it's verse 1 of Matthew 20, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now let me just talk about this some, and then we'll have prayer. There's an agreement here in verse 2 with the first group that he hired all day. The householder goes back out the third hour, and he gets another group, and he says, whatsoever is right in verse 4, I'll give that to you. And then in the ninth hour, the householder goes back out and he gets another group. And he says the same thing. He goes out to the 11th hour and he says the same thing in verse 7. Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. And then they work some just for an hour, a brief period of time. And then, but when the time came, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire beginning, and this is interesting, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, why in the world do you do that? Well, I'll give you that. Let's have prayer first. Father in heaven, I pray that you take this brief message this morning and yet a tremendous message about what you do for us and how good you are to us and how this all of grace, even the motivation to do the righteous things, comes from the Holy Spirit. Father, thou art the root of it all. Thou art the root of it all. Thou art the core of it all. We're nothing in ourselves. Thou art great and gracious and proven through grace. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name and amen. You have a group here that he's called in, and the idea is that all of these by grace, they've come in and they're working in the vineyard. And at the end of the time when the day is ended, the Lord of the vineyard said to bring those in, and he says, those that beginning from the last and the first, and it, because the Lord is teaching something here about grace. And when they came, verse 9, and when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. So those who came were hired the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. But When they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. Now here's what has taken place. Those that Jesus went out, said, I'll just do what's right by you. Just come on and work in the vineyard. I'll do what's right. He had an agreement early on for those who worked throughout the day. He had an agreement with them. The others, he just said, I'll do what's right by you. They came. They worked. At the end of the day, he gave them all a penny. Now those that had worked all day long, and Jesus is teaching here, that the grace of God is what we're saved by, the grace of Almighty God. It is not by works. And the thief on the cross gets to go and enjoy heaven the same way we get to enjoy heaven. Now, we shall receive rewards for that which we've done for the cause of Christ, but those crowns that we receive will be laid at the feet of Christ there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. Now, it is all of grace, even the doing good. What God has done for us is all of grace because He's gracious to us. David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" We are a hunk of clay at best, and then God saves us. Jesus Christ dies for us, and because of the grace of Almighty God, we can have a place in heaven with Him. And this teaching here is this, beloved, is that those who have been, oh, I remember years ago, a Hollywood actor, and he had cancer. And he had lived a very, very sinful life and been with that crowd and had been caught up in the things of the world there in Hollywood. If I called his name, he's an older guy. He's dead now. He's in heaven now. And he died. Before he died, he went over to Mexico and tried to get, I think it had cancer if I remember it correctly. Went over to try to get some help from some new type medicine there in Mexico that they wouldn't allow in the United States. And he came back. Billy Graham went to see him and witnessed to him, and he got saved. And all of that, all of his life, he could do nothing for God, but it was sort of like the thief on the cross. And he went and talked to him, and Billy Graham led him to Christ. I remember some people saying, well, that's just not fair. I mean, it's just not fair that he gets to go to heaven after enjoying all that sin. Isn't that an awful, awful thing to say? Let me tell you something. It's not fair that any of us should get to go to heaven. And I sure don't reap any of that sin, all that sin he enjoyed. There's pleasure in sin for a season. For a season. And then there's a reaping from that sin. But those who've been saved for a long time, you're saved by the grace of God. I got saved in 1966. You're saved by the grace of God. Those who've just been saved recently, you're saved by the grace of God. You're saved. And heaven for you is just like it is for us. And these in the vineyard came, and they're complaining here. They're murmuring. They said, this is not fair. And verse 11, when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal with us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But Jesus answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give it unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? And he's responding in verse 16 to what Peter had asked Jesus. Now, very, very simple message this morning. The simple message is we're going to heaven because of God's love for us, because Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for us. That's why we're going. We do not deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And it's not only key that we know Christ as Savior, but then beyond that, it's key that we continue with Christ. Oh, I think of what God has done in my own life and the teaching of this parable. Let me tell you something. I'm just John and Lion Brothers' son that God called to preach. I don't belong up here. I don't sense that when I get to heaven, I don't anticipate any crowns at all. I don't say that so you might feel bad for me or might have a thought toward me that would be good thought. I don't anticipate getting any crowns at all. I don't at all. I don't at all. Look, I'm so glad just to be saved. I'm so glad just to be going to heaven. I'd like to have crowns to lay at Christ's feet, but I'm just thrilled to be a part of God's plan. And when I first began to pastor and people would come and they'd have problems and things they'd ask counsel for, and I said, God, I don't know how to answer these people. I don't know. All I am is just who I was growing up there in St. Brian's, Virginia. I don't know how to handle all this. And the Holy Spirit of God just incrementally said, okay, if you'll be empty, I'll fill you. If you'll just get yourself empty. And that was a long process. Oh, do you realize how good it is this morning? Do you realize it is that the vast majority of people that are alive on planet Earth today are going to hell and you're going to heaven? The grace of God. Oh, the grace of God to take us and do something. We had men and women stand this morning. Throughout this ministry, we have the junior church and the teen church and the little church and the nursery getting to serve God and to be a part of God's plan. Let me tell you something. We've had our eyes open. We've had our eyes open. Why is it that you sit here this morning saved and on your way to heaven, and others you know are lost and on the way to hell? We've had our eyes open. And that's of God. I don't understand all that. The Bible talks about election. The Bible says that John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost before he was ever born. More full of the Holy Ghost than his mother, I assume. He jumped. He moved within her womb when Jesus showed up. Full of the Holy Ghost. God knew how John the Baptist would live and what he would do because of his knowledge. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of England this past century, he said, "I don't understand election." He said, "I know this." He said, "When I go into heaven, the banner over heaven will say, 'Whosoever will may come.'" And that's the way it is. Whosoever will may come. He said, "But when I get into heaven and I look back," he said, "I believe I'll see a banner that says, 'Chosen before the foundation of the world.'" That's a mystery for you. It's whosoever will may come. That's anybody. You can't witness to anybody and get the wrong person saved. There is no wrong person. They're all candidates for salvation. Some of you don't have your eyes open. Some don't. Some don't. Some do. Some have not had your heart opened by God. The Bible talks about over and over again about remission of sin. And our eyes are open. Look at Acts chapter 26. The book of Acts chapter 26. There's no way I'm going to get to John 8. Acts chapter 26. And begin verse 12. Read verses 12 through 18. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 12. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 26. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue." Now just stop here. It says tongue, Hebrew language. Take that over the book of Acts with you, would, the first part of the chapter. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have prepared unto thee for this purpose to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to whom now I send thee to open their eyes.'" He said, "Paul, I want you to go to the Gentiles. I want you to preach to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to open their eyes." October the 29th, 1966, 9:30 at night, the Roslyn Movie Theater on Grammy Street in Norfolk, Virginia, on the ministry of Billy Graham, God opened my eyes and opened the eyes of my wife, and both of us were born again that night. God even opens our eyes. He said, "You preach the gospel that they're to open their eyes." There are some that sit before me this morning. If Jesus had 12 and one of those was Judas, and everybody thought he was saved, surely this morning in the crowd, a little larger than 12, there'll be people. And your eyes have not been opened. And you know how to say all the things that are right. And I don't know who you are. It's not my job. It's my job to make sure that you know who you are. Eyes not open. God opened my eyes. Do you understand that? Before that, I was going down the road, going away from God and the things of God and having a grand old time doing it. And God, on that night, 9:30, He opened my eyes. There was a couple, I remember it like it was yesterday. There were three in front of us, young people in front of us. And during the service, in that period of time, they were laughing and talking. And then toward the end, I didn't pay any attention to it. But toward the end, it got quiet up there. And about the time God was dealing with us, they eased out. The three of them eased out and went forward. And God opened their eyes too. Oh, listen, you can't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God opens your eyes. So this morning, if you're not sure that you're saved, you better make sure. God opens our eyes. I see things and I begin to see things then that I had no idea. I understand things. I didn't come from a long line of preachers. Not any preachers in our family that I know of all the way back. My grandfather Ben Brothers prayed for a preacher. I believe that. I believe I had to jump the generation. He was the most godly in that group and godly man. I believe that he did. I believe that he did, and I believe I'm the result of those prayers. But, oh, God, open my eyes. In the Bible, I begin to understand things in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit live within me. If you're saved today, God has opened your eyes. And if you don't understand that, and you sometimes grasp with this salvation thing, then, oh, listen, beloved, the gospel has come. That God would open our eyes. Our eyes are open. Do you see things different than you used to? Some of you are saved, and maybe you're going off into sin, and your vision is blurred. You find ways to excuse your sin. Find ways of compromise, and the darkness comes in. It's happening in the church today. We have churches full of the world, full of their music, and the compromise, of the Scriptures. And there's a darkness that's about. And a lot of these people are saved people and on their way to heaven, but because of they've lost discernment. Because they don't go to God and say, God, give me the eye salve. Keep my eyes open that I might understand the spiritual things. Then not only that, the Bible says again in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16, not just that our eyes are open, it is of grace. It is of the grace of Almighty God. Chapter 16 and verse 14. Chapter 16 and verse 14. It is nothing of ours. It is nothing. It is ours just to receive, to have our eyes open. But beyond that, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, it's talking about Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. When you hear the songs like this morning, I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. Your heart just opens up. You say, oh, that's right, Lord. Beyond the cross, there's an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb. Oh, my hallelujah. He touches your heart. He opens your heart up. That's a wonderful thing. Your eyes. So now you understand spiritual things. Not as much as you want to, but you understand spiritual things. And then he opens your heart. Don't you want that? Don't you just keep my heart open, whose heart the Lord opened? Lydia's heart. He'd opened her heart. He'd opened her heart. And the grace of God, when Christ comes in, God opens our eyes, and we see ourselves as we really are. The fact that God has not opened your eyes and you don't see yourself as you really are doesn't change it at all. Doesn't change it. You say, well, I'm not so bad. When you see yourself as you really are, you'll see how you really are. The Holy Spirit will show you how you really are. And then the opening of the heart. And when we come to Christ, oh, this is wonderful. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And we're saved. This is wonderful. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. When that happens, when we're covered by the blood of Christ, there is the... Because of the shedding of blood, there's remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Look at Matthew 26 and verse 28. Keep your place there in Matthew 26 and verse 28. Oh, this is good. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And verse 28, look at this, 26, 28, Matthew chapter 26. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. The word remission, according to the dictionary, is the giving up of the punishment for a sin, the relinquishment of a payment. Oh, this is great. Look, when I was saved in 1966, I was on my way to hell, and I was saved. We had everything. My wife, you know the story. I come from the other side of the tracks. My wife lived over there on the right side of the tracks. She's the blue blood crowd. They were the school board crowd. They were the courthouse. She worked every Sunday at the courthouse there in Prince Edward County, because that's what the spoil system is all about. I like the spoil. It's good if you're on the inside. I like it fine. When on the, I don't mind if I'm not on the aisle. I just like it fine. She was on that side. We had everything. We had a brand new auto. We were buying a house. We had everything. Things were just going great. We weren't sick. No. But there was an emptiness. There was an emptiness that we had in our marriage. We had tremendous love for each other. Our first marriage was like World War III. So they can skip World War III and go to World War IV. We've already taken care of World War III for 9 months. I mean, it was just, but boy, when that thing smoothed out, she took off and we've been honeymoon ever since then. I'm telling you. But what I'm saying, we had, everything was great. But there was something missing. And we knew it was missing. And we were looking at, we went to church after church after church after church. We found our way one Saturday night there on Granby Street there in Norfolk, city of Norfolk. And there, in that process that night, we came to Jesus Christ under Billy Graham ministry. We came to Christ. And things just changed. They just, my eyes were open. I saw things. I saw life. Like it really is. Like there's you just live it. There's nothing beyond doing right for the cause of Christ. All the other stuff is going to be gone. And do that. I never dreamed to be called a preacher. We went out and I got drafted in the service. I was there for 33 months and served in the stateside. I got, you know the story, in Fort Hood, Texas, and the MOS got MOS was frozen there. I couldn't go anywhere else because we were so busy sending out people to Vietnam. And came down one time on a D-1 levy to go. That's when the whole unit was called a D-1, and they go, everybody go. And then they canceled that, and they found out I was a part of the group, and they said, if he's going to go, there's no need for them to go. And so they're not going to do any good if he's there with them. And so they can't say. And then when I left, got out of the Army, I went to work for U.S. Customs. I was there for 33 months. I believe that's right. It's over three. No, it's longer than that. 36, maybe 3 or 4 years. And I loved that. I honestly loved that. But all that period of time, God was working in our lives. I loved doing that. Again, I loved the bureaucrat side. I liked it. I just liked that. The guy, when they hired me at U.S. Customs, and I traveled with them. I would stay in an area for 3 months and go 3 months and 3 months. And it was import merchandise. And I'd go to a company, and they would give me a parking place. They'd give me office space. Just a wonderful thing. And I loved it. I mean, goodness, I wasn't used to this doc. I wasn't used to it at all. And the guy hired me, he said, they'll treat you like the Lord. Not the way they treat the Lord these days, but I know what he meant. And they said, they'll treat you great. And so all of that, and God kept working. My eyes were being opened, and then God touched my heart. And I never dreamed. I went to in church, and I got a Sunday school. First, I started in a little church over there, junior church. And I did junior church. I sure did junior church. I was doing junior church, and we'd sing, welcome, 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 all of you. And we would sing and leave them singing. And we did that because our printer, we had a little thing. You grind that thing out. You know, it didn't do the W's right. It made the W's V. So we said, welcome, welcome, all of you. It was a V. So the kids said, welcome, welcome, all of you. And so we'd lead them in that, all of that kind of did that. And went up. And then I got a class. My wife, when I went to, I started teaching this couple's class. And my wife said, what you going to say? Is what you're going to teach. And then I did a Bible study in the afternoon, didn't I? Whatever that is in the Southern Baptist Church, whatever that union thing is, some kind of deal. And they all came in there, and the Lord just did some wondrous things. Oh, God's been so good to me. But you see, the moment I think it's of me, it's nothing. It's nothing. Nothing. It's just nothing. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And you, beloved, the same way, my Sunday school teachers, my workers in the church, those that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that are over yonder, it's the same thing. It's all of God. And it's all the gracious love of Almighty God. Oh, it's and the remission of sins. And so on that night, all of my sins were forgiven, all of them. I couldn't confess them all. My, far too many. I far too many. So they were all covered. You can't sit down and write all your sins. I don't know them all, but God knows them all. And that night, all of those sins, I confessed what I knew, and then he filled in the what I did not know. And all the remission of my sins. Remission of my sins. And all of those sins were wiped away. Let me tell you something. Here's what happens. Here's what happened this week. something that won't be right that come in my life. I may not have a right response to it. Maybe a thought that will come that I'll entertain longer than I should. And the Holy Spirit, who has opened my eyes, who has opened my heart, say, you need to have remission of that sin. And I'll go. And I'll go to my prayer closet, which is in here. One of them anyway. And I'll confess that sin. Wrong thought. Oh God, I can't have your power. I can't have your presence. Wrong thought. Oh God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And the blood of Jesus, remission of sin. It's just gone. Isn't that wonderful? Remission of sin. Remission of sin. So you see, it was active then, but it's active right now. And it's all of grace. I couldn't sleep if I didn't have remission of sin. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. Because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And my eyes have been opened that I might see sin. And my heart has been opened that I might feel sin and know what it'll do to me. Oh, remission of sin. Oh, beloved, it is all of grace. It is all of grace. People say, well, I get to heaven. I want to talk with Him. No, no, no. No, I don't. I just want to lay down. I just want to fall prostrate before Him. Just leave me there a while with my Lord. Just leave me there a while with Jesus. I do not know how He looks. I don't know. But I know what He's done for me. And I know I'll know Him when I see Him. I'll know Him. The Bible says, when I see Him, I'll know Him, I'll be like Him. Oh, beloved, has He opened your eyes? Did you just get religion, or is it a relationship? Has He opened your heart? Has He opened your heart? If He's not real to you, if He's not real to you, your eyes have not been opened. Your heart has not been opened. Make sure that He's real to you. Let's bow for prayer. Think on this, if you would. If you were to die right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Has God opened your eyes? Has the Holy Spirit touch your heart? We live, and then we die. We die. God has given us living grace. God has for us dying grace. He opens our eyes to that. He opens our heart. If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Do you know that? And those that know that you're saved, you know that. Oh, it's of grace. It's undeserving. It's of grace. It's all of grace. Look what He did for you. Look what He did for your children. Look what He did for your wife, for your husband. Look what He's done for me. Oh, my. What He's done for us. Let's all stand. If we could, everyone standing. Our Heavenly Father.